Jesus said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Fair to say that first words often stick in our minds. First lines of a cherished book, first lines of an unforgettable play, first lines of a favorite song. No doubt it is memorable when our child speaks its first words, first time they said mama or daddy, first time we heard from our beloved, "I love you." We can all remember a time when the first words out of our mouth made an impression. Now, whether it was good or bad matters not. The point remains, first words are important. It's no different with Jesus. Here he is, he's been baptized, he's overcome Satan's growing temptations in the wilderness, and now he's returned to the synagogue of his childhood home in Nazareth. Even before we hear Jesus speak from the Hebrew Scriptures, we know something about Jesus. We know something about the way of his life. For his word is our life. By it, this word, the heavens and the earth were made. By it, you were made. And this word, we confess, has become flesh and has dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Therefore, what do? We mark it, and we read it, and we learn of it, and we even eat of it as we inwardly digest it every Sabbath day in the synagogue. This is what the faithful do. This is what Christians do. They gather to hear the word of God in its truth and purity and to receive the holy sacraments for the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, we all know that it's not in the least the most attractive thing to do on a Sunday morning or even on a Thursday night when it's 3 degrees outside. But it's a given for Christians. For it is today, the day when Jesus unrolls the scroll of Isaiah and he reads. Not haphazardly, as if he flipped the Bible and he's like, "Oh, that's what I want to read." He read this because it summarized his destiny as the Messiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." The first words out of Jesus' mouth are Holy Scripture. Notice what he does not do. He does not warm up the crowd with a few good jokes. He does not use a meandering illustration that leads nowhere or explain what he's going to read before he reads it. He's not concerned about what the people want to hear. He's not concerned at all that they knew him when he was just wee little tall and he could barely reach his mother's knees. He's not concerned what they think of the fact that he's a carpenter's son. He just simply speaks. He speaks what they need to hear, and so he delivers God's word to them. For this is what he has been ordained to do before the foundations of the world were laid. And so we learn here, God is the Word, and he is a God of words. He speaks to you by way of words. As one early Lutheran author would write, God makes himself visible only by allowing himself to be heard. And so at creation, what does he do? He speaks. Even in the sad day of fall and flood, he speaks. Even in the Egyptian captivity, he speaks. In the wilderness wanderings, he speaks. And in the promised land, he speaks. And then through the prophets and the apostles and the priests and the kings, he speaks. He addresses you. And now God, the Word made flesh, is standing in the synagogue and he is reading his own word to you. And so do not let this simple truth go unnoticed. This is the rejoicing at the incarnation of our God. That the prophet who is greater than all the prophets now speaks the prophet's words into the flesh. Because everything that the prophets spoke about, everything that the prophets longed to see, everything that the prophets did are fulfilled and seen and heard and realized in this one who is speaking to you. And then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In a one-sentence sermon, Jesus summarizes his life, the purpose of his life, and the promise of the entire Old Testament. Every word of Holy Scripture is fulfilled in Jesus, is Jesus. Because all the sounds that the Bible makes all boil down to one note, that the Messiah, this long-expected Jesus, is finally here and he is sent to proclaim and preach good news, to release those who are in bondage to sin, death, and the devil. And yet, Jesus' word not only reveals something about himself and who he is, but it also tragically reveals who we are. For we are the poor in need of God's rich mercy. We are the blind in need of eyes to see and ears to be attentive and to hear our Lord's word. We are the slaves who are captive to sin, death, and the devil, in need of being set free and at liberty from our sins. Because here is our problem, and it is a very tragic and difficult problem. We often use God's word as a tool for our own agendas. So you want to start a program in the church? Well, I got a Bible verse for you for that. You want to raise money in the church? Well, I got a Bible verse for that as well. Even if you have a self-determined cause you want to uplift, as they say, I got a Bible verse for that. Have a way of life you want to justify? I'm sure you can probably try and find a Bible verse for that as well. And so it goes in the church before and today and in the days after. Here's what the church and its members desperately try to do as the body. The body tries to make the head, that is Jesus, speak what it wants to hear and feel and believe and so confess to be true. And as a result, what ends up happening? We see it all over the United States in churches. We place ourselves above the Word of God, when in reality, we always, pastor and people, lie beneath the Word of God as creatures who are addressed by their Creator God. Consider the gulf that exists between Jesus' words and our words. Because contrary to the great fallacy of the school ground, playground retort, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." And especially in these days of social media, our words not only hurt, but they cut like a deep, serrated knife. We slander. We lie and we curse and we gossip and we blame and we betray and we brutalize with our words. We lash out as whips with our words. And we always try to get the last word in. We have to have it. We use our words to make ourselves feel better and our fellow man to feel so small and so insignificant. But not Jesus' word. Jesus' word, his word glorifies the Father and then gives that glory to you and to me. Jesus' word points you to his death and his resurrection. Jesus uses his words not to belittle you, but rather to serve you. For whereas our words will bring hurt and harm to others, Jesus' words bring healing and holiness. Where our words bring death and decay, his words bring life and restoration. And so therefore, Jesus always not only has the first word, but he has the last word on our sin, on our disease, even on our death. Not Satan, not death itself, not even our sinful flesh, no matter how much it tries to convince us. Jesus speaks and it is done. It's finished. We are forgiven. We are free. From the first words of his first sermon to his last words of his last breath on the cross, Jesus' word is life to you. And this, in its essence, is what the people in the synagogue failed to hear and to recognize that day. Their eyes only saw this little boy they grew up playing around his father's table saw and measuring tape and sander. All they saw was this human, ordinary-looking man who was saying these extraordinary things. They were not seeing with their ears. For that is how we truly see Jesus, if you wanted to know. Remember, I cannot stress the point enough. God makes himself visible by the fact that he addresses you and speaks to you by way of words. After all, we believe that faith comes by hearing the word. And through the hearing of the word, faith is created. Thus, the word is what we hear, and that is why we mark it, and that is why we learn of it, and that is why we inwardly digest it day after day. In this place, in our homes, with our families, with our friends, etc. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing and in the washing away of your sins. And so this word is pronounced to us, and we are given liberty even as we are captives to sin. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's done. The word fills the bread and the wine with Jesus' body and blood and is given and shed for you. And as you eat and as you drink, so you are filled and you are fulfilled and you are fed. And what do? You rejoice in God's word given to you. This is why Pilgrim Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Unaltered Augsburg Confession exists. And now, as of January 18th, for 68 years. It exists by God's word and for the sake of God's word. For this word is spoken that men might live and not die. That's our vocation. We are to be hearers of the word of God. We are to be receivers of the word of God. And therefore, as we go out into our vocations, we are to be confessors of the word of God. And that is why our life as Christians is important. That is why our life of Christian stewardship is important. It's not about the money, but it's just about the supporting of the work of the Holy Gospel in this place. The work of evangelism is important, but it's not about how many people you've touched with Jesus or talked about Jesus for 5 seconds with. But it's about the pure proclamation of the Word of God in truth and purity. And to those who have not heard, and especially to those who have heard but have forgotten that they once heard this word. This is why we sing. This is why we chant. This is why we rejoice. This is why we have an organ. Because it enables us to rejoice and confess the word of Christ together. This is why we have Sunday school. This is why we have Bible classes. This is why we have catechism classes. To give and to teach God's word of life to all, in season and out of season, throughout all the earthly days of this earth. So today, the scriptures are fulfilled in you and in your hearing. You see Jesus today, not with your eyes, but with your ears, as you hear his words of promise and restoration. Sure, I will not discount the fact that disease and death and your sinful flesh and Satan and all his minions will stir the pot throughout your earthly days and make your life look like a living hell. But it is not in the word of Christ. Rather, in Jesus' word, in the midst of all of that which is going on, it is your safe harbor. It is your light and your life. And you ought never to forget that. You are these baptized children of God. You are forgiven. You are free. For today, which is to say forever, for a day in the presence of our Lord is as 1,000 years to him, the scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing. So rejoice that the word of Christ has come to you this day in your ears. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.